Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, live from the Golf Club of Tennessee, where today we've got the Coaches versus Cancer event. I think the golf's going to get canceled, though. Reaction Monday is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. It is a Titans Monday, and you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. I don't usually do this at 3 o'clock, but it is a Reaction Monday, and it is a Titans Monday. So,
to the phones.
To the phones we go. 615-737-1025. Your reaction from yesterday's game, and my reaction, Derek Henry is the Michael Jordan of the Titans. He is the Peyton Manning of the Titans. He is the Tom Brady of the Titans. He is the Babe Ruth of the Titans. He is the, who else is a great team player that just dominated because he was so freaking good?
He is the Derek Jeter of the Titans.
Yeah, Jeter was never really like that, though.
You said Babe Ruth.
Yeah, see, like, Babe was, you know, a bad boy.
He was
the Shohei Ohtani of the Tennessee Titans.
There we go.
That team stinks, but that's my takeaway. Derrick Henry is the man. Michael, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michael, going to kick us off this hour. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Listen, I think the penalties played more of a factor in that game. It was a lot of penalties called. Henry, I like him. LeJuan, I think he got a target on his back. I think he needs to stay off the internet. Sit back and listen. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. So I have a couple of theories on all of that. First of all, I don't think the penalties were more important than Derrick Henry. Like, I'm not saying penalties didn't play a factor, and I'm not saying that I thought, as I said, I thought John Hussey's crew yesterday, and I think John Hussey is one of the best officials in the NFL. And his crew yesterday was absolute dog crap.
It was awful. It wasn't just the penalties. It was the missed calls. It was the bad calls. I feel like the Titans and the Seahawks both equally were playing against the refs.
You know when we talk about, like, players playing scared?
Uh-huh.
I thought they ref scared yesterday. You know, like, DK Metcalf takes Christian Fulton into the bench, and I'm yelling. I'm like, do not punch back, because I'm watching what DK's doing to Fulton, and I'm like, oh my goodness gracious.
Ironically, like, enough, as he has blue hair because he likes to stay cool-headed.
Cool head, yeah.
Cool head, but let me swing at the defensive back covering me.
And I'm just like, don't, because you know they always see the second guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, don't. And Fulton, you know, he was holding up his own, but I didn't see, and you didn't get a good camera shot of it, but I didn't see Fulton, you know, do anything back to DK. I'm like, good. And I'm sitting there thinking, because it was a holding that the Titans declined, and I'm like, they should have thrown the flag on that and said, after the play, personal foul 14, and it still should have moved back 15 yards. So I thought the officiating yesterday was horrendous. I don't think that it was more of a factor in the game than Derrick Henry. The Taylor Lewan thing, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot about Taylor Lewan throughout the week. I said this on Friday. I'm done listening to Taylor Lewan talk. I'm done listening to, you know, did you hear Taylor Lewan's podcast when he talked? I don't care. And I don't care about what Taylor Lewan says at a press conference, and I don't care what Taylor Lewan says at Twitter. I do think the Titans have a social media problem right now. Like, too many players are on it too much. Lewan, I think, is on it too much. I think
AJ
the caller's
Brown.
Right, and that's the other one. That's the other one, where I think that the social media is screwing up A.J. Brown right now.
Well, did you see his tweet right after the game? Like,
can't put it down. Cannot
but
put the phone down.
That's my thing is, if I am out there and I drop six balls and I have a bad game and there's no way around that, I think the last thing that I would want to do is pick up my phone and tweet about it.
They can't turn it off.
That's concerning.
Like,
it's incredibly concerning, because it's fine, whatever, if you want to use it as a tool at your disposal, if you want to use it as a tool to interact with fans, but you cannot interact with fans if there are no fans to interact with. What happens on the field is why you have interaction on social media. So I'm sick of it.
So now you're sick of it, because Friday you were like, when I said about Taylor Lewan, you were like, oh, that kind of sounds like telling him to, you know, just shut up and play. And I was like,
well, no, because I have no problem with players having social media, having their own podcast, having anything outside of football. You should have that. You very much so should.
You
should set yourself up for success after football. But it's looking like it's a trend with the guys who are on Twitter and the guys who don't really play well, that's where I have a problem, when it starts to get in the middle of your play.
I think AJ, and I don't know AJ, I think AJ's got to get off Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of basketball, you know, where those guys are just addicted to the Instagram.
Kevin Durant.
I think AJ's got to get off Twitter. I do. And I'm not saying it. I think, you know, with all things in life, if somebody ate too many donuts and they got fat, wouldn't we say, hey, you know what? They got to cut the donuts out.
Probably.
Okay. Well,
I mean,
that's
a little bit more of a direct reaction, you know, eating donuts and getting fat.
Right.
They're going to be like, what do you mean? No, being on Twitter has nothing to do with my play.
But
yes,
Twitter
it does.
Is screwing you up, then you got to get off the Twitter.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jason, who's up next here on a Reaction Monday powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Good show today. I am a Nashville resident, but a lifelong Seattle Seahawks fan. I get the NFL Sunday ticket every year. I haven't missed a Seahawks game in 20 years, easily.
Sure.
So I'm a little salty today. Obviously, my reaction is a little bit different than most of the people in town. I don't understand how the Titans, in week one in front of their home fans, decided to just lay down for the Arizona Cardinals. But they come up to my team's place, and it's clear eyes, full heart, can't lose, coach. You know what I mean? But all credit where credit is due. I have seen so many games in front of that crowd, and the 12s take a lot of pride in their crowd noise, where mm-hmm. teams get very confused, and they always cause off, you know, false start penalties, or the quarterback has to call a timeout because he can't get everybody on the same page, and the play clock is running down. I think I was most impressed by the Titans yesterday's, like, ability to navigate that. Like, I don't think the crowd had any impact on them whatsoever. I mean, 2 years without fans in the stands, and they were rocking yesterday, without a doubt. And it just did not seem to affect the Titans in any way whatsoever. So I think that was the key component to the game for them, to being able to stay focused.
Thank you for your call, Jason. Are you surprised by that? I mean, I you know, when the team gets going and they do, like, you know, like, then you kind of don't think about it much mm-hmm. when you're watching it on TV.
Right.
But, I mean, I think somebody, I forget who it was, tweeted out yesterday and said that the press box was shaking, that it was so loud in Seattle yesterday. And, I mean, we saw I think the one thing the Titans did that they practiced, and clearly they did it, was they broke the huddle pretty early
mm-hmm.
because Tannehill was going up to everybody on certain plays to make sure whatever it was he was trying to tell them, you know, was a factor. I was surprised that it didn't feel like the crowd changed the game whatsoever.
I think it absolutely has the ability to. I think it very much so can't change a game. If you are getting flustered, you're getting in your head, you can't, you know, you can't call out the right plays, you can't communicate it. I think it very much so has the ability to change a game. But it's tough to kind of gauge that when you're watching it on TV. But it didn't seem like it.
Let's get back to your phones next. 615-737-1025. There is something Mike Vrabel did yesterday that I didn't think he was going to do, and that I am almost beside myself, in a good way, that he did. I cannot believe Vrabel did it. I want to get to that next, but then, of course, we're right back to your phones. 615-737-1025. Calls and texts. We'll hit them both. 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my official sportsbook app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The NFL is back and kicking, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants to get you the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everybody a $10 risk-free bet every single week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more, and if your first bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Tonight, Green Bay versus the Lions. I think Aaron Rodgers, if he's got any heart, we'll see it tonight. So I'd probably bet some overs on passing yards and points, plus the Lions are terrible, so I probably hit it that way. There's no feeling like nailing the same game parlay, so look at your bet on today right here for the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, you can sign up using the promo code JGM to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code JGM so they know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Tannehill in the shotgun. Hand off Henry, and he's in for the touchdown. His third score of the game.
Titans score there, and all of a sudden it is a one-point game, and Mike Vrabel had a decision to make. And let me say this, and I know I've told this story on the air. I think I've told you this story. But 3 years ago, I was with my dad in London at Wembley Stadium, and the Titans down a touchdown, got the ball, similar scenario, and I'm watching the game, minding my own business, and I turn to my dad, and I use some words that you can't say on the radio, and I said, if this mother coach goes if this guy goes for two, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my mind. And I said it before the drive. And he went for two, and they tried to throw the ball to Taywan Taylor, and they lost the game to the Chargers, where, outside of a couple of busted coverages, they had played pretty well, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Sound familiar? So yesterday, they're getting the ball. They're going, and they are just moving it.
Uh-huh.
And the defense looks good, and they score the touchdown, and I'm thinking, please, Lord, kick. Please kick the field goal. Whatever you do, just kick the ball, Mike, please. And I knew he wasn't going to. Like, I knew Randy
You thought
Bullitt,
he was going to go for two?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Randy Bullitt gave him the out by missing the 44-yard kick. It was kind of like, well, I couldn't trust him to go out there and miss this PAT, so I'm going to put the offense out. And he kicked it. And he kicked it. And Vrabel was talking about it after the game. Here's what Vrabel said about his decision to not go for two.
Did you ever consider going for two at the end of the? You always go back and forth, and you know we've been through there before. And I just felt like the way that the defense was playing, you know, I felt like the way, you know, I mean, we, you know, just decided early on, you know, that was what we were going to do as far as, you know, kicking it.
Oh, I hear that, and I think to myself, my baby's all grown up.
That's growth.
Because
that is growth right there.
3 years ago. Vrabel, and Ian, I think you remember this. Like, he wanted to be Johnny Go For It. He wanted to show his guys, I believe in you. And he did it by going for it on every fourth down possible. It didn't work in the Miami game early in the season, but it worked against the Eagles. And everyone thought, oh, yeah, coach believes in us. Then he did it against the Chargers, and it didn't work. And it went, and I was like, please, please, Mike, whatever you do, kick the extra point. And unlike the time in London where it was like, we're going to be a team that goes for the win, instead of that, which was stupid, this was, you know, you're just feeling it, how the game goes, and as the game goes, that's what you want, and that's what I want. That's what I want. And I felt like, hey, the defense had held tough against Russell, and yeah, okay, you lose the toss, Russell goes down and scores a touchdown, you lose, okay, I'm willing to lose that way.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm not willing to lose on is a pass to Taywan Taylor in the end zone against a Charger team that you've been moving the ball all over the second half. And I'm not okay with, because you're giving yourself one chance. Because the way Derek had been running the ball, you could have turned around and handed it to him on a two-point conversion, and he might have gotten it because he had been running the ball so well in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
But you're giving yourself one chance, and I didn't like that. I honestly didn't even care if they lost the toss, because I'm like, all right, defense can get the ball back, and then you turn around, and now all you need is a field goal, and you just hand it off to Derek, and those guys were so tired. That Seattle defense was so winded in that game because the Titans, Derek beat them up, and I'm like, they're not going to be able to stop Derrick Henry here. So I couldn't believe Vrabel did it. I could not believe he did it, but he did it. 615-737-1025. Let's go to the text line. By the way, this Wednesday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you correctly guess which player scores a goal in the game, you'll win a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game Wednesday at 9:45. What do we have in the text line?
Well, we have several texts and comments on the stream calling us P-Pops and Boomers about our take on social media. And I just feel like we need to defend that a little bit, because I have no problem with players being on social media, being active on social media, having podcasts. I don't care. Whatever you want to do, that's fine. It's when you stop performing on the field. Because there was a texter that said, oh, you know, I don't hear you complaining about A.J. Brown's social media when he has a 100-yard game. Yeah, because there's not an issue there. If you're in school and you get A pluses on all your tests and you're on TikTok all day, that's fine. Because as long as something's working, it's working.
Sure.
But if you're failing your calculus test and you're on your phone all day, maybe you take the phone away and see if that changes anything. So if A.J. Brown goes out and has a 100-yard game and he's tweeting the whole game, sure, go for it. That's what helps you. But if it's not working, then there's got to be some sort of factor.
I read Rover's book, Michael Jordan's trainer, Kobe mm-hmm. Bryant's trainer.
I'm reading that book now.
And one of the things in there that he says is, I can tell you all you need to know about the effects of alcohol on the body or smoking pot or mm-hmm. things like that. But if you feel like you need to go to that party and stay out late, if you feel like you need to smoke that weed, if you feel like you need to have that drink, that's fine. But if it starts affecting your performance, then we have to talk. And that's how I feel about social media. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish I used it less. You know, in December, January, like I didn't use Instagram really at all. Like mm-hmm. I deleted it off my phone. Like I didn't check it. I didn't. Like, and I was in, and I'll be honest with the audience here, I was in like a really, like, just how I felt,
mm-hmm.
like, because of, I mean, I think I can tell people now, like, Floyd left, and it just had, like, an effect on me, and I was really depressed about it for a long time, and I just, like, I can't look at Instagram, I gotta get off it, I just gotta get my own, you know, whatever, and I did. And when I did that, I think I was probably happier than when I was on Instagram all the time. Now, if it affects my radio performance, then it's got to go. If anything affects my radio performance, it's got to go. It's got to go. And that's the thing about social media. And I think Taylor Lewan is an example of this, which is Taylor has a very, you know, he seeks attention, which most offensive linemen don't do. And I'm not going to be one to say an offensive lineman shouldn't seek attention. Do whatever you want. But when you don't play well, and then you go seeking attention, and then you don't play, it's just going to get people more mad. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's mad at Roger Saffold today. Because Roger Saffold doesn't ever, like, grab attention and, you know, look at me. Lewan does. People are mad at Lewan. They're not mad at Saffold. They're mad at Lewan. Lewan didn't try to get hurt yesterday in the warm-ups, but it's just the way people feel. Is it's like, oh, yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, right.
After all that talk, after all that tweeting.
Yes. And I think other teams look at it, and they're like, you know, like, I think other teams look at it, and like, you know, let's go shut that guy up. I think that's part of it, too. What else we got in the text line?
Speaking of Taylor Lewan, a texter texts into the text line and says, do the Titans play better without Lewan?
So I'm not going to go there. Just like I'm not going to say that they play better without Jayon Brown or they mm-hmm. play better without Amani Hooker.
It's too small of a sample size.
I think the big – well, Lewan, there is a legitimate sample size season. Because he's missed half the games over the last 2 years, 3 years now. Here's my thing, though. And I'll say this about Saffold, too. If I'm paying you $14 million and I can win without you, then I'm not going to pay you $14, $15 million anymore. And I think that that's kind of where the Titans are with Lewan. If the season were to end today, I think the Titans owe Lewan like $1 million against the cap if they cut him next year. But he's due to make like $14.9 million. So you're talking about saving $13 and change if you release Taylor Lewan at the end of the year. I don't think you'd have any choice but to release Taylor Lewan if the season ended today, because you can't rely on him. And the one thing that bothers me about the Titans roster as is constructed right now is John Robinson is relying on too many guys that are not dependable. And being available for injury is part of dependability. They are paying Roger Saffold a fortune. And what we saw yesterday, Roger Saffold goes down, trainers come out, goes off for a little bit, comes back in the game, gets hurt again, has to go out, might have to miss a game or not. Well, that's what Roger Saffold was last year, too. That's not dependable. Derrick Henry is dependable. Kevin Byard is dependable. That's how you win in this league, is guys you can count on. Vrabel was such a great player under Bill Belichick. Not because he had, you know, was a great athlete, not because he was, you know, super big and strong, but because they could depend on him. And that's how Belichick built that whole program. Guys you could depend on. And when you look around here at the guys that have been successful of late, Tannehill you can depend on. And Ben Jones you can depend on. And Jeffrey Simmons, Jarrell Casey, Logan Ryan, those are guys you can all depend on. And that's something that I get worried about when it comes to Lewan, and I also get worried about when it comes to Jayon Brown. Because Jayon Brown separates his shoulder and doesn't play in the Patriots or Ravens playoff games 2 years ago, and they won those, breaks his elbow last year, and I felt really bad because that was a cheap shot, but breaks his elbow last year and doesn't play in the back end of the rest of the season, and then Jayon Brown out with a hamstring injury, and it's like, dude, Jayon, you went to the market this year, thought you were going to get paid and didn't, and it's because people can't pay you if they can't depend on you. You know, and I worried about this yesterday with Bud Dupree. You know, how much can you depend on Bud Dupree coming off of an injury? Now, here's where I'll give Bud credit. I thought Bud was very impactful in yesterday's game. Mm-hmm. But I go back to the whole thing with these guys making a lot of money. If I can't depend on you, I can't pay you a lot of money. And I think that's the way that I feel about Lawan. As far as the question of, are the Titans better with or without Taylor Lawan? I'm sure they're better with him. And I'm sure he would have played better had he not gotten hurt in warmups than he played in week one. But I can't pay you all this money if I can't count on you. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says, the fact the Titans had only one false start penalty in that environment was just one example that Vrabel clearly had them ready to play. Aside from the two blown coverages, they were disciplined.
No, because they roughed the punter.
Oh, that was so dumb.
Yeah, I mean,
so dumb.
I think that the roughing the punter is just like that dumb crap, you know, Vrabel said last week about Julio Jones that hurts the team. I think that's what that was. I mean, do you know the penalty that really got me? I mean, the roughing the punters.
That was so stupid.
But do you know the one that really got me?
Which one?
The one where Tannehill didn't wait for Josh Reynolds to get set.
Yeah.
That one really got me because you're driving the ball. You're at the 3-yard line. And Derrick Henry, and you need a touchdown there. Mm-hmm. And people are going to blame Josh Reynolds because the penalty was on him because he was running. But it's the quarterback's job to make sure everybody's set. And so that to me, that was Tannehill's fault. But those are you can't win with that. Like, you cannot win with those penalties. Chris Jackson with his hands all over Lockett in the end zone, that's one I'm okay with taking. I don't like it, but I get it. But the idea of, like, oh, yeah, Vrabel had them ready to play because they were disciplined, they were down 24-9 at the half. So, you know, discipline. Elijah Molden gets burned, tries to recover, and runs into Bradley McDougal. And all of a sudden, it's a touchdown. That's not discipline.
Oh,
that's not ready to go.
That was so bad.
I will say this. I said this after week one, and I stand by it. Molden's not ready. Like, he's not ready to play in the NFL. He's not ready to play at that level. And they took him out of the game yesterday. And I think they realized, okay, you know, we want him to be our slot guy. We drafted him to be our slot guy. We need Elijah Molden out there. And I think they realized, okay, we can't do this. Like, we got to put Chris Jackson in. Got to put somebody else in. They took Bradley McDougal out as well because they're like, okay, we thought this practice squad guy, we can't take him out. And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am okay with taking that guy out of the game in that situation because ultimately you can't win making those kind of mistakes. But this idea of, like, hey, Vrabel had those boys ready to go, I still keep thinking that it was – Derrick Henry saying, all right, everybody, get him back. You know, like the old line of, hey, get on Superman's cape. And I think that's what they – like the offensive line had an okay game because it wasn't as bad as the last one. But did you see the
sack? That was my point earlier. It was just because it was improved from week one doesn't mean it's necessarily fixed or saved or perfect.
Third and goal, Titans have Tannehill in the shotgun, and Nate Davis just doesn't block Bobby Wagner, and he just annihilates Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this
This
is where we have to stop, like, saying after any sort of win of any kind, like, oh, everybody was the team showed us they. There were a lot of guys didn't play well. Molden didn't play well. A.J. Brown didn't play well. Jeff Swaim, who freaking sucks, didn't play well. Nate Davis didn't play well. Bradley McDougal didn't play well. You roughed a punter. You missed a kick. Here's another question I have, by the way. And I mean this with all sincerity. When do the Titans ever plan on doing something like returning a punt?
Chester Rogers could not return a kick or a punt to save his life.
Like, I'm not saying...
Was it like 10 yards?
Like, Ryan,
average?
Ryan texted me yesterday and said, when's the last time the Titans blocked a punt? Because, you know, I think Aukerman, the special teams coach, has to go.
Yeah.
And I have said that. How long have I been saying that for, Ian? I mean, clearly it's fallen on deaf ears, but I feel like I can't even count the years I've been saying Aukerman's got to go.
Yeah. It's been a few.
I mean, he's got to go. And I don't understand why Vrabel and those guys don't understand. Like, dude, you get nothing out of special teams. You use draft picks on special teams players. You sign guys to contracts to be special teams aces. And you get nothing out of it ever. Ever. And they just keep sending Craig Aukerman back out there. Craig Aukerman is stealing money. as the special teams coach of the Titans. I cannot state this enough. How many times, like yesterday, you want to just throw the remote because you roughed the punter for no reason?
That was I was like, what? What are you doing?
Did he think he was going to block it?
I don't know what he was thinking.
So I just he's got to go. He's got to go. And this week it was Westbrook Akina, but next week it'll be like the time against the Jags when Cam Batson took a knee in the end zone. Or, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff that the Titans have done over the years on special teams that never gets punished because the special teams coach must be boys with Vrabel, and Vrabel don't want to get rid of him. But I'd fire that guy so freaking fast. I am so tired. And the other part about it is, I go back to Ryan saying, when's the last time the Titans blocked a punt? I said, when's the last time they returned a punt? I mean, they can't even do the basic stuff. So that gets me all worked up. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. People are trying to – cold take's not the right word. I listened to the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, so does Jared regret saying last week whether or not the Titans regret trading for Julio after Julio's game? And I will answer that question next. Reaction Monday is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. It is a Titans Monday live from the Golf Club of Tennessee, where once again today, coaches versus cancer. All the Tennessee basketball coaches are out here, and we are going to be raising a lot of money for coaches versus cancer. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game tonight at Jonathan's Grill in Mount Juliet, 613 South Mount Juliet Road for Monday Night Football. Grab some game swag, and they'll have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Vanderbilt football game. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tannehill surveying the scene, looking end zone, caught! Julio Jones! Touchdown!
So Gene's point about the heel and the toe having to be in bounds, once the toe initiates the contact, that the heel has to come down in bounds.
After review, the receiver's heel came out of bounds, touchdown, out of bounds. As a result, it's an incomplete pass.
I don't know how they came to that conclusion yesterday. I could not believe that. I mean, every time you watch a game, college, pro, basketball, baseball, football, hockey, they always say you need indisputable visual evidence or video evidence or whatever they want to say every time. And I don't know how you could look at that play yesterday and say that it was indisputable that Julio's foot was out of bounds. And I'm not even going to try to get into the whole, like, you know, the toe was down so you can toe drag, but you can't. You know, the whole foot comes down, then the whole foot has to be. I'm not going to get into that because I don't know what a catch is in the NFL. Like, I don't know, like, what. That would be like saying, like, hey, Jared, do you know what's in that protein shake? You know, not really. Like, and I don't know what's. Do you know how they prepared that salad that you're eating right there? No, I don't.
Still going to eat it.
And do you know how what a catch is in the NFL? No, I do not. I have no idea what a catch is in the NFL. And sometimes I just think they make it up as they go along.
Probably.
So I thought it was a touchdown. And I thought it should have stayed a touchdown.
Yes.
And I now think that it is more likely than not that Julio's foot was in the end zone and that that was a touchdown. But that's not what I want to discuss. So Robbie and Rex Road this morning were like, ha, 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 how does Jared feel now after wondering if the Titans regretted the Julio Jones trade last week? Ha, ha, ha. So I'm going to address this one time.
Okay.
Julio has to pay what he owes every week. Like, this is not, Julio had a great game, it was a great trade. He doesn't get paid $15 million for 1 week. This has to be something that, you know, gets into the repertoire where you can count on Julio like you counted on him yesterday in almost every game you play. Now, he's not going to go out there, and I don't have the stats off the top of my head. He's not going to have that performance every game. And I don't expect him to have that kind of performance. But what he can't have is he can't do dumb stuff to hurt the team.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't have the Corey Davis disappearing act games where all of a sudden, oh, it's a big Sunday night game against Green Bay. Where's Corey? No catches. Playoffs against the Ravens. Where's Corey? No catches. Corey had a game last year. I thought that this game was a lot like a game the Titans played on the road in Baltimore, where they got down, and then they came back, and Derrick Henry was a beast in the second half, and they won the game in overtime. And at Corey Davis, that might have been the best game he played last year. I mean, Corey Davis was awesome. Flash forward to the playoffs, Corey Davis doesn't have a catch. That is what will define this, whether or not this was a good trade. Because the Titans didn't make this trade. This isn't a free agent signing. The Titans made this trade and invested a lot of their cap in on Julio Jones. What they had set aside probably to go get a tight end, whether it was a Zach Ertz or somebody in the trade market, whatever they set aside, they skipped over in order to go sign Julio. And they sent a second-round pick to Atlanta that, well, second-round pick, I mean, could be Christian Fulton, who actually looks pretty good, unlike Dylan Raidens, who looks, you know, can't even get on the field.
Well, you know, this time in Christian Fulton's rookie season, he probably resembled Dylan Raidens now than more than he resembles Christian Fulton now.
No, he was hurt. Like, he had played.
Yes.
And then he got hurt.
Yeah.
Raidens doesn't play.
Okay.
So there's a big difference there.
Okay.
I mean, the level of, oh, my God, what's going on with Raidens is
but
that's
the level
legit
of what they are able to contribute to this team.
Sure. And, you know, being hurt is – but I mean, this has to be more than just this week. I mean, this is before I even – you know, and then all of us – because now everything Julio does – and I don't understand why the national media – I understand why the national media doesn't cover the Titans. I get that. I'm not concerned about that. But, like – what Vrabel said last week, I didn't even think was that big of a deal. And everybody, you know, Stephen A. Smith and Keyshawn Johnson are screaming about it. And I didn't even think it was that big of a deal. But so what it made me realize is they're going to treat Julio like he's a bigger star than Derrick Henry. He's not. Derrick Henry might go for 2,000 yards again this season. And I say this, that all that's going to come up is, well, you know, we heard that in Atlanta when things weren't going well. Well, it's So, if he can go the season and is not a distraction off the field, mm-hmm. and he can go the season where when you need him, you can count on him, then yeah, they won't regret it. But as of right now, I have a hard time saying, like, yes, Julio is the man, and the Titans are just, that was the best trade ever. Now, I'll say this. He has done more now officially than both Carl Pickens and Clowney did and their careers as member of the Titans.
There you go.
Of the Titans.
That's something. It's not a lot, but it's something. But the reason why I agree with you this week is the exact reason why I did not agree with you on your Julio take last week. It was because you're saying now, you know, yes, Julio had a great game in week two, but we need to see more from him to know that he is more so week two than he is week one. We need to see him contributing every week. It's not just a one-week thing. And that's exactly why I disagreed with you after the Cardinals game. It was because I said, okay, that's one bad game. If Julio has 16 good games and one bad one, that's fine. You know, that's overall very much so net positive. So, yes, I'm with you that I need to see more from Julio before I can say, wow, great job, John Robinson. That was a great trade, which is why last week I wasn't going to say it was a bad trade. You need more games.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're back to your calls. Add that to the kitty as well. We're breaking down yesterday's game. Stillman & Company Reaction Monday is delivered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. It is a Titans Monday as we are live at the Golf Club of Tennessee, once again all the way out in Kingston Springs, where coaches versus cancer tonight. Hopefully we can raise a bunch of money there. By the way, our stream, which you can see on Twitter and YouTube and Twitch, so you can just go to YouTube and just pull it right up right there. Twitch and Twitter is presented by the law offices of Amanda Gentry.
8 targets, 6 receptions for Julio Jones. The connection seemed to become, what was it about? You guys really clicked that deep pass, especially, you know, what was the difference?
Yeah, he made some huge plays, obviously. The big one, I don't know if that was the first one or not, but, you know, saw something on the sideline, made the adjustment, told him about it, and it paid off. He got open. Got open down the field and then was running, was able to hit him there. A couple big plays, you know, the one that got called back was a huge play. That's a play that we expected to be completed later, further across the field, but I was getting hit, so got the ball out early there, and he was able to make the adjustment and go up, obviously, a blade of grass away from a touchdown there. Couple big third down catches. I think of one early where he's on an end cut and threw the ball high. It was pretty covered, but threw the ball where he could go up and get it, and he attacked the football, came down with it. So, you know, once I saw him make that play, I felt like you know, he's rolling, and it's going to be a good day for him.
That was an incredible catch by Julio Jones.
Yes,
where
it was.
He went down to the ground, and the ball popped up, and it almost, like, you could see the Seattle DB was fighting, and if the Seattle DB gets the ball, that's an interception.
Right.
And I just thought, fantastic play by Julio Jones. He had a great game. The key question here is, what will it look like if they get him and AJ going in the same game? That's the question. And I don't know the answer to that. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Cedric, it's always good to hear from. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Cedric.
Man, last week, y'all, it was doom and gloom, and I spoke for me and the GM, man. Listen, dog. King, did you see what King Midas did last week? Yesterday, did you see what he did? I mean, he's getting hit, six hits in the first half. King Midas kept his cool. He kept his composure, led the Titans, which is what a true leader does. Went in there, talked to the OC, man, said, this is what we need to do to get back in the game, man. King Midas, Ryan Tannehill, is the best quarterback in the league. I don't want to hear about Patrick Mahomes or any of them other cats, man. We got the best quarterback in the league. The Titans went to Seattle, did what they wanted to do.
Cedric, everybody, who's the number one reason? If you had to say somebody was the number one reason that the Titans won yesterday, who would you say that number one person is?
Ryan Tannehill.
See, I can't go there.
He's our leader.
I just can't. I'm not going there. Cedric, I'm going to say this. I think Ryan Tannehill is the Scottie Pippen of the Tennessee Titans.
Michael Jordan never won a championship without Scottie Pippen, so that's all I'm going to say, man.
I don't think Derrick Henry can win a title without Ryan Tannehill. I don't think he can.
Of course.
But I think your love for Tannehill, and I love Tannehill too, not as much as you, I think your love for Tannehill, and I appreciate your call, Cedric, Tannehill is overshadowing the fact that Derrick Henry was the best player on the field yesterday. And I don't mean this in like a Tannehill was bad yesterday, because I don't think that. But Derrick Henry was the best player on the field. Now, what'd you think of Tannehill yesterday?
I mean, I don't think Tannehill really necessarily did anything that was outstanding. I don't think he did anything that cost the Titans the game. I mean, Ryan Tannehill is a game manager, and I don't mean that with any disrespect. And that's exactly what he did yesterday.
He did throw for 340.
Yeah. He put up a ton of yardage. He did have a fumble. I mean, he had a good game. It wasn't anything that completely stood out to me. He made the plays he was supposed to play. He had a good game.
I do wonder how we feel about Ryan Tannehill if A.J. Brown catches the ball. Because that first A.J. Brown drop is probably like a 45-yard gain. Mm-hmm. So you add that in there, and then what happens? I thought Tannehill was good yesterday. That's the kind you can win with that performance from Tannehill. Now he's got to stop fumbling the ball.
Yeah.
And all this stuff about, what was Tannehill supposed to do? They killed him. He's got to hold on to the ball. Like, that's what Tannehill has to do. He has to hold on to the ball. Well, budget, nope, don't want to hear about it. He's got to hold the ball. Did you see that one replay yesterday where Derrick Henry was in the pile and Jamal Adams was just standing out there just, like, punching at it like he was, like, a boxer trying to punch the ball out? Like, if a ref sees the wrong thing, they'd kick Jamal Adams out of the game for that.
Like, ref ran up to him and said something to him about it.
Because, like, if a ref doesn't think you're trying to punch the ball out and the ref thinks you're trying to punch Derrick Henry, they'll just kick you out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And this ain't college. They're not reviewing that. So I saw that, and I'm like, okay. Now, Swain missed the block that led to Tannehill getting pulverized and fumbling the ball, but you can't have your quarterback fumbling inside his own 15-yard line every single week.
One thing I will say on that was the play that Saffold had just gotten pulled out and Brewer was in there. And I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit too harsh on Downing on that play call, but if you know you got Brewer coming in on your first play, maybe let's not run a little play action that needs to have some heavy, run pass protection here when you just got Brewer in on his first play. Let's give him a little bit of a breathing room here before he gets in there.
So I'm going to defend Todd Downing from this standpoint. One, they ran to the right, not the left. So it's like they kind of ran away from where Aaron Brewer would be. It was a play action, and then Tannehill rolled over to the right.
Yeah.
And as Tannehill was running to the right, Swaim's guy... Because Swaim freaking sucks. And I am thankful that the Titans have realized this midway through the game. And they said, no, you know who's a better blocking tight end who can catch better than Swaim? Pruitt. and a guy that they've trusted for 3 years now, and they put Pruitt in the game, and Pruitt actually made some plays. Swaim sucks. Swaim was not good enough to be on the 2020 Jacksonville Jaguars that went 1-15. He was the fourth string tight end here last year. And they're literally running him out there like he's their starting tight end. He freaking sucks. And
well, before this week when Michael Pruitt was out, I mean, did they really have another option?
When Pruitt wasn't on the team?
Correct. Pruitt was
on the team week one. But they had Firkser as an option. They had Firkser, Swaim, and Pruitt. But, like, it's their fault for thinking that they could get by with Swaim. Like, they thought they could get by without Pruitt. Because I think they paid Pruitt $2.5 million last year, and they didn't want to pay Pruitt this year.
Mm-hmm.
So Pruitt ends up in San Francisco. He gets cut out of training camp. The Titans add him to the roster, but because he's a veteran, long story short, Swaim sucks. That's the long story. He's a third string guy, and they're trying to play him as a first string guy, and it got Tannehill killed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think Tannehill has to hold on the ball.
In the second half, Pruitt brought some energy, I thought. He was one of the guys trying to like really bring some passion there, getting some guys fired up, was in Jamal Adams' face a little bit. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really seen that from Michael Pruitt in a couple of years since he's been here.
And Pruitt got that 15-yard penalty, you know, where they dragged him out of bounds
penalty.
Got another 15 yards, and I thought Pruitt was good. And I'm just so glad, hopefully, they don't ever use Swaim anymore. But, I mean, I thought Tannehill was okay. You just got to protect the ball. That's all I got. Back to your phones next, 615-737-1025. But I do have to ask this question. How about your coordinators now? Because this time last week, everybody was ready to dump Todd Downing. Everybody was ready to dump Todd Downing. What about Todd Downing today? I haven't heard anybody talk about Todd Downing. What do we think next? Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. TriStar Moving, my official movers. That's right. A year ago, I purchased a new home. And when I purchased that new home, in fact, it was week two of last year that I looked at this new home. And I was like, yes, this is a perfect home for me. But then I was kind of like, oh, gosh, I don't want to have to move and then move all on my old house and put it all in my new house. And then I got with TriStar Moving. And they made it so much, so much better. They made the entire process so simple. There's a reason that their motto is TriStar Movers with five-star service. From the initial phone call to the final signature, moving was a breeze. They offer home protection, covering your floors, banisters, railings, door jams, and the doors themselves. And they are always upping the game when it comes to mover training. That's why this company, TriStar Moving, is on the rise. They are my official movers, and their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they care about helping their hometown. They have a brand new state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet, and they are on the rise. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website, nashvillemoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for my official movers.